Colgate Tooth Powder presents the Theater of Romance. Tonight, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you Michael O'Shea in the romantic comedy Bringing Up Baby. Tonight and every Tuesday night, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you the Theater of Romance with your favorite stars in your favorite stories, motion pictures, and plays.
Use Colgate Tooth Powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it at night.
And now for tonight's presentation, Bringing Up Baby, starring Michael O'Shea. In New York City, at the Museum of Natural History, there once was a professor, a certain David Hatcher Huxley, whose full and impressive title was Curator of Fossil Reptiles. Our story opens in the museum, where David is absently wriggling the jawbone of a reconstructed skeleton. He's approached by a certain Miss Alice Swallow, a very severely tailored individual wearing pince-nez glasses.
David, come down off that ladder. I have something important to tell you.
All right. There we are. Now, let me see. I had something to tell you, too. Oh, yes. I had a telegram from Dr. Blakely, and the last bone we need to complete the brontosaurus will very likely arrive here tomorrow.
Oh, the intercostal clavicle?
The intercostal clavicle. Just think of that. Let's go out and celebrate, huh?
You haven't time to celebrate. You have an appointment with Mr. Peabody. You're playing golf at Piping Rock.
Let me see, Mr. Peabody. Who's Mr. Peabody?
David, you haven't forgotten. Alexander Peabody is one of the biggest corporation lawyers in New York. He represents Mrs. Carlton Random.
Oh, yes, yes. That's the old girl who's going to give the museum $1 million, isn't it?
We hope she's going to give the museum $1 million. A lot depends on the impression you make on Mr. Peabody.
Mm-hmm.
Now, David, tomorrow...
We're getting married tomorrow, aren't we?
That's right. Now, I've made arrangements for us to be at the church at 3 p.m. Now, do hurry, David, or you'll be late. Don't forget your golf clubs, and be sure and let Mr. Peabody win.
Yes, dear. I can't tell you, Mr. Peabody, how much this endowment would mean to the museum and, of course, to me personally.
Excuse me, Huxley, but you're interfering with my shot.
Oh, beg your pardon, sir. I wish you'd come to the museum and let me show you what we've accomplished in less than 4 years, really.
You're blocking my shot again.
Oh, your shot.
Yes.
Beg your pardon. Mr. Peabody, if you would just give me some assurance that you'll use your influence...
Dr. Huxley, when I play golf, I talk only about golf. And even then, only between shots. Now then, we'll take this matter up later when we've finished our game. Spencer Bland, I think you hooked your ball. You better go after it.
Huh? Oh, yes, I did, didn't I? I'll be back in a minute, Mr. Peabody. Don't you go away. Come on, Caddy.
There's your ball, sir. That girl's going to play it if you don't stop her.
Hey, please, don't hit that ball. Wait a minute, That's my ball, there.
You shouldn't speak to people when they're about to play, you know.
Oh, but that was my ball.
I never played the wrong ball in my life.
Oh? What kind of a ball are you playing?
A Spalding Special.
I'm playing Dunlop Green.
Well, don't be snobbish about it.
A Spalding Special is marked with two black dots. A Dunlop Green has a circle.
Please, you're upsetting my game.
If you will look, you will see that ball has a circle. It's my ball.
What does it matter? It's only a game, anyway.
My dear young woman, you don't seem to realize that you've put me in a very embarrassing position. The most important corporation lawyer in New York is waiting for me on the first fairway.
Then it's absurd of you to be fooling around on the 18th green.
Do you mind if I take my ball and go?
Well, let's not lose our temper. Certainly, take the ball. But it is mine.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
David didn't catch Mr. Peabody at the club. Mr. Peabody stalked right through, got into his car, and drove off without so much as a farewell. And when David got out to his own car, he found his bumper cozily locked with...
Would it be asking too much to ask you to release my car? Really, I wish you would stop following me around.
Following you? You're the one that's got my car.
Is there anything in the world that doesn't belong to you?
Yes, thank heaven, you. All right. I'll stand on the bumper and you start your car. That's all. That takes care of my fender. Now, look, will you please go? You know, I've never hit a woman in my life, but it's the first time for everything.
I'm terribly sorry. It's that model you're driving. They just don't hold up.
Mm-hmm. Well, as it so happens, I had a choice between this and a tank. I should have taken the tank.
You don't have to be nasty about it. I'm completely at the end of my patience.
Oh. You're at the end of your patience. You spoiled my golf game, smashed my fender and my door, and you're at the end of your patience.
You really should watch that temper. Goodbye.
For the first time, I can understand why ancient men sometimes drown girls at birth. Now, where in the blazes will I find Peabody?
Sir, Have you a reservation?
Oh, no, I'm looking for Mr. Peabody. Alexander Peabody. I was told he's dining here.
Mr. Peabody hasn't arrived yet. Will you wait?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Well, hello.
Oh, no.
I think it's time we knew a little more about each other. My name is Susan Vance.
I don't care what your name is, and I don't want to know anything about you, and I wish you'd quit following me around.
Well, I like that. I was only trying to be nice.
Look, I'll explain it to you in words of one syllable. I'm waiting here for a man. I want to wait alone. Because of you, I lost him on the golf course. I don't want to lose him again.
Who is this man that's so important?
That couldn't possibly be any of your business, but if you'll go away, I'll tell you. His name is Alexander Peabody.
Not Boopy!
No, his name is not Boopy. It's Alexander Peabody.
But that's Boopy!
Now, just a minute. You mean you know him?
Know him? He's my guardian. He isn't coming here tonight. He's at home in Riverdale. I just talked to him. If you like, I'll drive you up there.
I can't spend the time to go clear out there. Miss Swallow is waiting for me at Carnegie Hall at the concert.
Miss Swallow?
My fiancée.
Oh, well, don't worry about that. We'll be back in plenty of time. You just leave everything to me and it'll be all right. I can twist Boopy right around my little finger.
You're sure you can twist him around your little finger?
Just watch me. You just relax, David. Leave everything to me. We'll wake Boopy up. Come on now.
Susan, I don't think we should wake him up now.
Now, don't be silly. It's a ridiculous time to be in bed. I'll just throw some pebbles against Boopy's window.
Oh, no, you can't do that.
Boopy!
Susan, please, will you listen to me?
Boopy! Susan,
we're going to end up in jail. I just know we're going to end up in jail.
Stand back, David, so I can throw some gravel. Oh!
What did you do, throw a boulder?
Guess I threw too hard.
Hmm. I know we ought to leave now, but I just can't seem to move somehow.
Who broke this window? Who's down there anyway?
I regret to say that it's sir. Dr. Huxley.
Oh, you again, eh? Well, you wait till I get my shotgun. And don't you dare move.
Jeepers. Come on, David. Let's get out of here. We'll come back and see Boopy tomorrow.
I'm getting married tomorrow, and I don't ever want to see you again. Goodbye. Yes, Alice, darling. Yes, dear. Well, I had to telephone you right away. Yes, it's come. It just came this very minute. The intercostal clavicle. Yes. The last bone I needed to complete the skeleton. Now, isn't that a beautiful wedding present? Yes, I'm coming right down and set it up immediately. Hmm? Yes. Uh-huh. All right, darling. Goodbye. Hello.
Hello, David, darling. This is Susan.
I'm not here, Susan. I left for China an hour ago. Goodbye, Susan.
I just called up to see if
Something must be wrong with my hearing, you know. I thought I just heard you say you wanted to know if I would like to have a panther.
That's what I did say.
A stuffed panther?
Don't be silly. What would you do with a stuffed panther? My brother Mark is hunting in Brazil, and I guess he caught this one. It just arrived this morning. Will you please come over and tell me what to do with it?
No, I'm sorry. I can't do that. I'm going down to the office to put my intercostal clavicle into the...
I beg your pardon? Thought you said you were going down to the office to put your intercostal clavicle in. That's silly.
Well, that's exactly what I said, Susan. And after I get that taken care of, I'm going to get married.
What's an intercostal clavicle?
It's a brontosaurus bone.
Oh, well, of course, that explains everything. David, please come over here.
No, Susan, I can't possibly...
David, he's coming at me.
Hmm?
David!
Susan! Susan!
Hello, David.
Susan, are you all right? Did he attack you?
No, he's as gentle as a kitten. Of course I'm all right.
Why, you little faker.
This is Baby. Isn't he a nice panther?
Good grief. Susan, you've got to get that thing out of here right away. I'll call the zoo.
You can't. I've got to keep him. My brother wants me to take Baby up to our farm in Connecticut.
But that's ridiculous. Get him away from me now. Susan, get that thing away.
He just wants you to pet him. He likes you.
Hello, panther.
Aw, isn't that sweet? We won't have a bit of trouble at all taking him to Connecticut.
Well, I hope you don't. Goodbye, Susan. I have to get to the museum with my bone. And then I've got to get married.
David, do you know what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to give you Baby.
Oh, no, you don't.
Well, I have to do something with him, and I can't get him to Connecticut alone, so I'm going to make you a present of him.
I don't want him, and I don't want you, and all I want to do is...
I know. Take your bone and get married.
That's right. Goodbye forever, Susan.
David! Go get him, Baby. Go get him. Oh, David! Don't look now, but your panther is showing.
And now, as the curtain descends on Act One of Bringing Up Baby, we listen to a true-life drama.
Jack wrote me he wanted my picture for a pin-up, but he's dated me only once since he came back home. Guess I look different to him now.
No, darling, you look the same. Prettier, if anything.
Then why the quick freeze about Jack?
Dear, I've been wanting to tell you something. Something Jack probably found out. It's about that little breath of trouble.
Oh, I never suspected it.
Now, here's clearly a case for Colgate tooth powder, because anyone can be the victim of a little breath of trouble. It happens to thousands without their knowing. Marks them down socially, brings them unhappiness. So just do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Because scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing, and remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. Now, Colgate Tooth Powder brings you Act Two of Bringing Up Baby, starring Michael O'Shea with Joan Alexander. And so it was that David found himself with Susan and Baby on his way to Connecticut.
I changed the two tires you punctured.
And we chased Baby and caught him.
I chased Baby and caught him.
Yes, you did. You're wonderful, David.
I still think it was going a bit far to tell that officer that we were part of a circus. I won't deny that you look like a trapeze artist, but by no stretch of the imagination do I look like a knife thrower.
Oh, I don't know. There's the butchers. Please go in and get Baby some meat.
Oh, now look, Susan, I've got to get back to New York.
You don't want Baby to eat the maid, do you? It'll only take a second.
Oh, dear God, don't let me lose my patience. Please don't let me kill her.
Hurry, David.
I'll hurry, all right. I want 20 pounds of sirloin steak.
Did you say 20 pounds?
Yes, I said
20 pounds.
How will you have it cut? I mean, are you going to roast it or broil it?
Neither. It's going to be eaten raw.
Do you grind it up before you eat it, mister, or just cut it in hunks?
No, it's not for me. It's for baby.
One of us is crazy, and it's not me.
You will never know how right you are.
And so Susan and Baby and David went bucketing on into the Connecticut woods. And there David met new disaster. He went in to take a quick shower, and he came out in one of Susan's negligees, because that was the only thing that was handy. And in that manner, he met Susan's Aunt Elizabeth.
Susan, who is this man?
Why, this is David. He's a friend of Mark's.
What have you done with his clothes?
Oh, they're being pressed.
Why did Susan bring you here, young man?
I had a letter from Mark, Aunt Elizabeth, and he asked me to bring David up here for a rest. Mark said he was apt to have a breakdown, and that whatever he wants to do, he must be allowed to do it.
Does he want to wear that negligee?
No. I want to wear my own clothes, and I also want to get married.
Why, Susan, I absolutely forbid it. I'll cut you off without a penny.
Now, if you would listen to me instead of listening...
I'm not going to listen to either one of you. Get him some of Mark's clothes, Susan.
Yes, Aunt Elizabeth.
And for heaven's sakes, put that box down. What are you carrying around?
Oh, that's my intercostal clavicle.
You're inter... Gracious. You do need a long rest, don't you?
You aren't seriously thinking of going back to town when those white riding breeches and that pink hunting coat, are you? You look pretty silly.
At this point, there are more important things to be considered than how I look. I still have to see Mr. Peabody, and I have to get married.
But the way to get to Mr. Peabody is through Aunt Elizabeth. He's her lawyer.
Wait a minute. Susan, what is your aunt's name?
Random. Mrs. Carlton Random.
Why out of 7 million people do I have to run into you yesterday?
Now what have I done?
Mrs. Carlton Random is going to give away $1 million.
I know.
And I want it for my museum.
All right, I'll ask her to give it to you.
No, please. Just forget the whole thing. Just let me get my intercostal clavicle and go.
Where did you put it?
Well, I put it on the table. I put it on the table when I went to dress. Susan, where is it? Do you realize it took 3 expeditions and 5 years to find that bow? Now we've got to find it. What did you do with it?
I haven't touched it.
Well, do you suppose your aunt took it?
No. There's only one person around here who would touch it.
Who?
George.
Who's George?
Aunt Elizabeth Bulldog.
Oh, no. Look, do you realize we've dug up practically 26 acres?
I know. Hasn't it been fun? I'm tired now, though.
Of course, it's just possible that dog didn't bring it outside at all.
You're not even willing to relax for a moment, are you?
Relax? Do you realize that I've telephoned my fiancé twice and postponed my marriage?
Yes, that's too bad. It must be terrible for a girl to realize that a bone is more important than she is.
Well, I haven't told her I lost the clavicle. I wouldn't dare. Well, anyhow, nothing more could possibly happen. Nothing.
David, look! There goes Baby. Come on, we've got to catch him. But we were chasing Baby, Sheriff. And we can't help his going into Mr. Digby's house.
He broke 3 Ming vases, spotted the rug, and ate a roast that was just cooked. I'll have to lock you both up until we straighten this out.
You better call my aunt.
There goes my $1 million.
We have to get out, David.
Well, at least we can't get into any more trouble in here. I'll have to use the phone, too. I'll have to call my fiancée.
Well, hello, Sheriff. Hello, Susan. See here, Huxley.
I want to know why you were throwing rocks at me last night.
He didn't throw rocks at you, Boopy. I did.
What?
I was trying to help him. He needs $1 million for his museum.
Yes, well, if your aunt takes my advice, he won't get it.
David.
Oh, hello, Alice.
Oh, David, what have you done?
Just name anything, and I've done it.
Are you Miss Swallow? David's fiancé?
Yes, I am. David, I've done my best to be patient with you the past 24 hours, but I can't help but realize that our marriage would be a complete mistake.
Yeah, I know, Alice. I don't blame you. I wouldn't marry me either if I were you.
Here's your ring, David.
I suppose she'll fly home on her broomstick now.
Well, Susan, I hope you're satisfied. You've completely ruined my whole life.
Oh, so here you are. Hmm? Young man, is this your bone?
Well, of course it's my bone. That's my intercostal clavicle, and where did you find it?
Well, I put it away for you. Why didn't you ask for it?
Do you know Mr. Huxley, Elizabeth?
Is this Mr. Huxley?
Yes.
Oh, of course. How stupid of me. The museum.
That's right.
He wants $1 million.
Please give it to him, Aunt Elizabeth.
Well, I intend to. Oh, I'm sorry I said you weren't to marry him, Susan. I withdraw my disapproval. You may marry him at once.
I'd like to, Aunt Elizabeth, but he hasn't asked me.
Well, go ahead and ask her. Don't mind us.
See here, Elizabeth, you're making a terrific mistake.
Well, Susan, darling, this is going to be terrible, you know. It's the end of peace and security and sanity. But will you marry me?
Do you love me, David?
May God have mercy on me. I do.
David, I love you very much. I'll try very hard to make you happy.
How could I help but be very happy? What more could any man possibly want than a panther, an intercostal clavicle, and you?
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just bright. Use it each morning and use it at night to help you rate with every date. Use Colgate tooth powder.
And now a word from Colgate tooth powder. 9 out of 10 men become tongue-tied when asked, what is feminine charm? But don't let that fool you. Every man knows instinctively whether a girl rates or doesn't rate. And often it's a little breath of trouble that keeps a girl from being popular. So ask yourself, could you be the victim of a breath of trouble, unpleasing breath? Better do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Scientific tests prove that Colgate tooth powder in 7 cases out of 10 instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. Money can't buy a dentifrice that will clean your teeth better than Colgate tooth powder. Remember the name, Colgate tooth powder, with the accent on powder. In tonight's play, Michael O'Shea starred as David, and Joan Alexander was featured as Susan. Bringing Up Baby was adapted especially for this program by Gene Holloway and was originally produced by RKO, producers of Back to Bataan. The music was composed and conducted by Alexander Semler, and the entire production was directed by Mark Slow. Next week, your Colgate Tooth Powder Theater of Romance brings you the great romantic story, Made for Each Other. And returning to star in it will be the outstanding young actor of radio and screen, Dane Clark. Join us next Tuesday, won't you?
Hello, everybody, hello. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair, so hello, everybody, halo.
Yes, use Halo shampoo if you want naturally bright and beautiful hair, for Halo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling film. The first time you use Halo, see how your hair sparkles and gleams with natural brilliance, how the deep natural color looks brighter, glossier. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather. Halo quickly carries away loose dandruff and dirt, needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
So Halo, everybody, Halo. Halo shampoo, Halo.
Until next Tuesday night, when your Colgate Tooth Powder Theater of Romance brings you Dane Clark in Made for Each Other, this is your host saying goodnight and wishing you love, happiness and romance. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.